You are about to listen to another wonderful episode of the Energy is Love podcast. Super excited to be back at it and recording new episodes. It's a lot of fun. Absolutely love the opportunity. All the stuff that I typically always say, it's very, very true. Very thankful and grateful that I get to do this thing that I'm passionate about and this thing that I love. So I'm sure, no doubt, for the next several weeks, if not months, I'm going to be talking about Everyman. Everyman.co. Go to their website, check out their stuff. The goal and purpose of Everyman is to facilitate and get a million men in men's groups across the world. I just got back from their first expedition ever. It was held in Yellowstone National Park, and we got a hike through Yellowstone for 4 days. It was beautiful. It was amazing. It was life-changing. I can't speak highly enough about what they're doing over there at Everyman. So go check them out. Get involved. If you live here locally, we've got a men's group that's up and running. It's based off of all the foundation and the teachings that they have and that they provide. It's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to learn more about yourself, connect more on a deeper level to who you are, and practice emotion and practice connection and feeling, and doing it in a safe environment and in a safe space where you get to learn from the other men in the group and feel more comfortable and at ease with who you are. And that just has this wonderful, beautiful effect of bleeding out into every aspect of your life. So if you're here locally and you want to get involved, contact me. You can just do that through the website. If you're somewhere else across the world listening to the podcast, go check out Everyman and their website. Listen to the podcast. Dan Doty hosts a podcast. It's just the Everyman podcast. They put out great material. It's just really amazing. Wonderful, good stuff. Like I said, you're going to be hearing me talk about it for quite some time to come. Today's episode is brought to you by Entheozen. That's Entheozen.com. Entheozen is a nutritional supplement company. All of their products are designed to promote optimal brain health and overall happiness. One of the biggest factors leading to mood disorders and mental illness in our society today are nutritional deficiencies. And so that's where Entheozen can come in and help fill in some of those gaps so that people can not just live and be happier, but also start to work on some of the rewiring of their neural pathways. All the ingredients in their products have been scientifically studied and proven to contain premium active forms of vitamins and minerals, which are there to ensure bioavailability and maximum absorption. So one of their headlining products, one of their main products is called Transzen. It's a mood enhancement and can also be used as a meditation aid. So whether you're going to yoga, whether you're sitting down and you have your own little private meditation practice, maybe you're going to hop in a float tank, whatever the case may be, Transzen can help you in that space, enhance that experience, and like I said, help with your overall mood and mental health. They've also got a Weekend Warrior product that's a party recovery supplement. So maybe you just got back from Burning Man and you're having a hard time integrating back into life and into everyday humdrum kind of society. Weekend Warrior can help with that. They've also got a stress recovery supplement called Revive. All of these supplements can be purchased on their website. Remember, that's entheozen.com. You can also search them out on Amazon and purchase directly through Amazon. Either way, whether you're on their website or on Amazon, enter the promo code ENERGYIS and save yourself some cash. On today's episode, my buddy Sean McCormick came back on the podcast. This is the third time Sean's been on, and quite honestly, I could record an episode with Sean every week. I love this guy. I love everything he's about. I love what he does. I love what he promotes, what he teaches, what he pushes in life. Really, just the energy of Sean McCormick is wonderful, wonderful, good stuff. So we came back on the show and we talked about a bunch of different things like we always do. Got into some different topics this time than the ones that we've talked about in the past. One of the things that Sean's got coming up next month in October is he's hosting a one-day workshop, October 28th. Basically, at the core of it, it's helping people balance their mind, body, and awareness of all things. So it's called Life MBA. Sean explains in depth the purpose of the workshop, kind of how he came to create it in a sense, which was kind of a neat part of the episode. He walks us through his creative process, but you can learn more about that. Remember, it's taking place next month, October 28th, up in Seattle. Go to their website. It's life-mba.com. You can also follow it on Facebook at My Life MBA. And if you don't know who Sean is, listen to this episode and then go back and listen to the previous ones that he's been on the podcast. He's super interesting, very connected and intuitively driven in life. And you can hear that when he talks, and especially through his teachings and his coaching. And, you know, go follow him on Instagram. Sean's constantly putting out wonderful material out there to help anyone and everybody. So go check him out. We'll have all the links for him and how to contact him, as well as this Life MBA that he's got coming up next month in the show notes. You'll find all of it also through our Facebook page. But for now, you guys get to sit back and relax and enjoy another fucking incredible episode with Sean McCormick. Here we go.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Well, here we are once again.
This is number three. This is exciting. This is the trifecta.
I know, right? I love it. Like, I was sitting there. I could have you on the podcast every week. Like, I wish we lived closer and like we could just take turns. You could co-host. You could come on whenever you wanted. Like, it's probably good for the listeners that we don't live closer, because I'd be bugging you all the time to be on the podcast.
Oh, totally. Yeah. People would definitely get sick of me.
So how you been, man?
I've been really great. Lots of fun projects, pushing my abilities, thinking of new things, trying new things, just always tinkering with my biology and my mentality, doing deep inner work at the same time. Family's happy and healthy. It's been a great summer here in Seattle, so I'm just I'm on fire right now. How about you? How have you been?
I've been doing really well. Doing really, really good. Yeah. It's been busy and been crazy, and I've had a little bit of time home the last few weeks, which is nice, but ramping back up. I've got a bunch of tanks coming up and a bunch of installs and traveling that needs to take place, but it's all good.
I can't wait to hear about your expedition.
Yeah. Yeah. It was incredible. Like, it was one of the most profound, amazing experiences I've ever gone through.
Oh, I love hearing that.
We could totally, like, I'm more than happy to tell you all about it and whether or not, I don't even know where to start with that. So I don't know if that's necessarily the best place to start, because I'll sit and talk about it forever.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, I'll follow your lead. And if, I've got lots to say and I'm excited to share. So whatever, however you want to rock it out, we can do it as you wish.
One of the things that I was thinking about this morning that I wanted to talk to you about, 'cause I was going back in my head and trying to, think about what we have spoken about and what we've covered, and, you know, we've talked about a lot of things in the last couple of times that you've been on, and it's not that we can't retouch on topics or anything like that, but one of the things I want to ask you, Sean, and talk to you about is being a dad. Like, I realize that I don't think we've ever really touched on that subject, and so if you're cool with it, I want to hear about your kids, and I want to hear about your experience of being a dad and all that kind of shit.
Absolutely. I love talking about my kids, for sure.
How many do you have, first off?
I've got two. My son, Reza, is 4, and my daughter, Lux, is 1.5.
So good young kids still. That's fun. That's a fun age.
Oh, yeah. They're a blast. Never a dull single moment.
What's one of your favorite things about being a dad?
One of my favorite things about being a dad? You know, I think one of my most favorite things about being a dad is to just be able to constantly check myself, in order to be as present, as giving, as loving, as absolutely focused as I can be in every moment. I'm constantly checking myself with what I say, what I do, how I stand, how much my phone is in my hand, how I speak about others. I mean, it's just this you know how much growth happens when you've got young people. You know, I heard this really amazing doctor on another podcast just recently. I think it was she was on the Lewis House podcast, and she was talking about how children come through you. Children are not yours. You do not own them. You do not control them. You are a conduit for which another being can come through you, and it is your job, it is your duty to help them, guide them, but not possess them and not control them. And that is something that I try to keep in absolute mind all the time. And it's really the way that we parent is, you're not in control here. They are their own spirit, their own being. They don't know much yet, but you know, so it's a constant reminder to be aware of how you're guiding this young person. I mean, my favorite part about being a dad is watching them, just sitting back in awe of what a young brain, what a young spirit goes through, like just this fascination with what they're learning and what they're applying and their personalities and their spirit that really shines through. But yeah, it's really, there's so much learning to be done. I'm learning from them probably more than they're learning from me, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely the case, I think, most of the time. What was the thing, like, because I think all the way back to when my kids were babies, like when they were born, and it was a massive, profound, instantaneous kind of shift, even though I wasn't necessarily fully aware of what was taking place. But it was very much apparent that, I mean, obviously, you know, from that point forward, my life was going to be completely different than it was prior to that. And so what, like for you personally, what was the, if you can kind of put words to it, because it's a challenging thing, I think. And people that don't have kids, I don't think can truly understand what it is. But how would you describe that feeling that happens when you very first see your child?
It's a profound, like, selflessness. It's, you know, it's this primal genetic process that we go through where we realize that this is what we were made to do. We were made to pass on our genetic makeup and, you know, continue to propagate our lineage. And that moment when this little squirrely, slimy little thing is in front of you, it's like this knowing, you know, this profound understanding about the most fundamental aspects of existence. You know, it's instantaneous. It just, boom, everything changes. And it's not like, oh, I've got paying bills or fear. You know, I tried to, you know, I didn't really experience that worry and fear that of all the logistics. I just had this profound understanding about what life is and what the process of rebirth really is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's profound. And like, I'm excited for you because your kids are still little, and that's such a fun time and such a fun age. And each stage of, you know, their development and their growth, and as they grow up, it all has its fun times and its challenges and everything like that. But it's such a beautiful thing to like be a part of and participate in. And, you know, like you said, you just like sitting back and watching. And, you know, I still do that with our kids today, where it's just like watching them live life, even in the most mundane, simple of tasks and ways of, you know, we're sitting around eating dinner or whatever the case may be. Just the beauty of the fact that they're here. There are these human beings and creatures that exist. And, you know, I think you said it perfectly, where it's like, we don't own them. It's just our opportunity to kind of sit back and help them through the process of this life as best as we can.
Right. And yeah, and we're not perfect, and neither are they, and neither are our parents. So there's going to be mistakes, and a lot of them. And, you know, as you bring someone new into your family, it's this tribal primal understanding from there. And it's, for a while, my wife and I were entertaining the idea of not having kids, and having kids is not for everybody. I think that we feel pressure to have children, you know? I think it's happening less and less as people become more autonomous. I think there's less pressure to have kids. I think it depends on your family and where you live and so forth. But, you know, we entertain the idea of just not having kids. And when we finally decided to, and when my son was born, it was like, man, I cannot imagine missing out on this process. I just can't fathom living my life, me personally, living my life without doing this. And two for me is enough, and I'm done. So
two's a good number.
Two's good. Do you have two?
We've got four.
Four, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Two's a good number.
Two's a good number. Oh boy. Yeah.
What's the like, if you could look at yourself, where's the area or the aspect of you as a father where you feel like you're kind of not necessarily failing, but I guess that you kind of suck at, like one area that you wish you were better at when it came to being a father and being a dad?
Well, I had this little incident this morning, and I tend to not like I'm the busiest person in the world, and not like I've got, you know, whatever. But I am fairly busy, and my schedule is pretty packed most days. We also schedule for downtime in my family, and so we have time set aside where there are no phones, there are no screens. We're just out in the woods or out, you know, around the house. So we schedule for that. But I have a tendency to process internally as much as I can, and then occasionally something will happen, usually stemming from my phone. Some incident that just boils up, and I dropped an F-bomb this morning upstairs, and my 1.5-year-old repeated it. And really, I was having some fun saying the word. She was getting into it. I mean, it's a fun word to say. It's got a big hard F and a big hard K at the end.
Yeah.
And so as I was upstairs and I blurted it out, I came downstairs and listened to her say it over and over and over. My wife looked at me and she's like, "Yeah, we gotta work on that." And I was like, "Yeah, absolutely, caught red-handed." And it's because it's like an exasperated exclamation, right? So it comes with it's not a happy F-bomb. It's like an exasperated F-bomb, and it's that word, which is just a sound we're making with our mouth. That word is associated now with like a point of stress or a point of tension, and I don't want to be programming her or my son, who gets it now, but I don't want to be programming that, like, yeah, when you get a little upset, you can say this word and it symbolizes frustration. She's going to get that in her life anyway, you know, like that's the, you know, language is powerful. But yeah, I could have chosen to breathe deeply instead of, you know, shout a grumbly F-bomb from upstairs. Yeah, so that's one where
sometimes the fuck is all it, you know, sometimes that's it. Like that's, you know, that's the outlet. That's what it needs. That's breathing quietly and collecting your emotions for a moment. That's all wonderful and good. But yeah, I throw out that probably too much. Our oldest.
Thank you for honoring that, Craig. I appreciate that. Thank you for the validation of that, brother. And thank you for saying fuck, because I was obviously dancing around it. But yeah, you're right. It's a little pressure release, and it's you know, it's fairly benign.
It is.
And if that's as bad as it gets, it's not so bad.
That's a big balance for us with our kids, because all of our kids are teenagers, or our youngest is 11. And so they're all in that phase where, you know, they swear at times. They have obviously language that they specifically choose to use when they're not around us, and we're aware of it because we, you know, hear about it and all sorts of different things. And it's like, how much of a emphasis do you want to place on it? Because at the end of the day, it's just words. But it's like the connotation that comes with it, and then the perception of society placed upon you if you use those type of words. And then we go through that battle of like, well, who gives a shit what society thinks of you? And but it was funny, our boy the other day, I don't even remember what he was talking about, or I think he was upset with one of his sisters, and he threw out a biatch. And like, he totally used it appropriately in the right context. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, there's some words that, yeah, I don't care how, you know, we're going to be all fine and dandy with you, because they're just words and wonderful. But there's some that it's like, nope, you're done. It's time.
Right. You know, stubbing your toe and shouting biatch is a little different than calling your sister a biatch.
Yeah.
Man, that's a fun word to say, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So it was kind of funny, but... Well, that's cool, man. I don't know why I wanted to talk to you about your kids. I mean, I think it's always good. I just think, like I said, I was thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, I don't really know much about you as a father. And, you know, I see your stuff online every now and then, and you've got your kids in there, and I think it's awesome. And so, yeah, being a dad's a cool thing.
Yeah, it is.
Is it one of the, like, is it one of your favorite things about life?
Yeah, I was born to be a dad. I always pictured myself being a father, and it comes really naturally to me. I love it. It's one of my main joys in my life. And one of the things, you know, that I struggle with, and I'm sure you do too, is like, I want to be present. I want to be consistent. I want to be reliable, and at the same time, I want to be the truest version of me as I possibly can. And the projects that I do, and the places that I go, and the things that I say are sometimes volatile, and they're sometimes racy, and they're sometimes dark, and they're sometimes really expressive. And I want to honor that too, because I want them to feel like that's okay for them to be their authentic selves as well. And so, you know, I think that my kids are probably going to have a really hard time describing what it is that I do at school when it's time to like do that. I'm sure your kids, you know, do the same thing. Well, he does a bunch of stuff. What does your daddy do? Well, my daddy's a lawyer. Well, my daddy is a construction worker. What does your daddy do? Well, he does a number of things. I'm not exactly sure what he does.
He records himself all the time. My dad just records himself on his phone.
Exactly. So that true essence of who I am, and I want them to watch me and be able to see that I'm helping people first and foremost, that I'm trying to make the world a better place. I'm trying to build people up. I'm trying to raise consciousness. I'm trying to give people perspective in my own way, and that's running businesses and being a coach and doing workshops and I want them to see that I'm a real person too, you know, just like they are. I think it's important.
Yeah. I think a lot of times too, it's important for them to see both, like you said, that you are a real person and that you, fail at life at times. And I don't like that word, and I don't think we actually fail, but, do you know what I mean? That they see your ups and your downs and the realities of what it takes to kind of exist as a human and as an adult and provide for a family and balance all those different aspects. And, I think about that all the time, where it's like, you know, I want them to see me fail in a sense,
But then also that that's okay, and that, you know, you just keep moving on, and then next week, next month, or whatever the case may be, things are back to normal, or things are better, or we just progressively evolve. And so I want them to accept that part of life as well, because undoubtedly they, you know, they continually fail left and right and continue to practice everything that they do. So,
yeah. I'm a huge proponent of failure, and we talk about it a lot in my house, because I want to, for a couple of reasons. One, to desensitize failing so that it's not the end of the world. You know, there should be, and if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. You're not pushing yourself hard enough. Whether that's jumping off a tall thing, whether that's talking to somebody, whether that's trying to stack one more block on the top and it falls down. And so we talk about failing. We talk about it more like, well, what did you do today that didn't work, that didn't go the way that you thought it would? And it's amazing to hear what comes out. And then of course the next question is always, well, what did you learn? Like, what will you do differently next time? And desensitizing that feeling. We do that. I mean, I do that with rain. You know, there's, you know, rain's okay. Rain's important. Don't feel like you can't go outside because of the rain. You know, like, well, I've got, you know, these self-limiting beliefs that we have around failure, around taking chances, around trying new things, is an important part of being human, and what did we learn and how can we grow because of it. So it's actually a pretty constant topic for us, and I've picked that up along the years in various different ways, and talk openly about it. And it's I think it's important for especially young people to understand that you're gonna fail, and it's okay to fail. It's great to fail, because then you learn something. You know, it's like what the Edison quote about, you know, trying 40,000 different filaments in the light bulb before he found the one that worked. And it's like, well, weren't you discouraged, Edison, by how many times you failed? And he said, no, I just learned 39,999 ways it didn't work. And I think that attitude is so empowering. It's also sort of stoic, you know, in its philosophy. You know, I'm a big fan of stoicism, and as a governing philosophy in life. And so that things are bad, it's going to happen. You can count on it. And if it hasn't happened yet, it will. And what do you do about it? Like, how do you handle stuff not going well? A, is it as bad as you thought it would be? No, it's not. It's never as bad as you make it out to be in your mind. And once you sort of prepare yourself and desensitize yourself to these failures, you understand that you can transcend that, and that you can rise above and be excellent in your life, because it's just another day, and that stuff's going to happen. And how do you grow from it? I think it's really important.
I do too. What's one of the like, we're going to get into a little bit, because now you sparked my mind and my thought process here. But what's one of the one of the biggest failures that you feel like really kicked you in the ass and kind of knocked you down for a while, but then on the backside and looking back in hindsight, you gained so much from? Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
I can, yeah. And this is, you know, deeply, deeply personal, and happy to share it.
Oh, it's a totally wrong podcast for that.
Yeah. Next question, please.
Yeah.
I had a major failure in a relationship with my co-founder of the float businesses. Massive failure, to where he's not involved anymore, and we had a conflict that he did some things poorly and I did some things poorly, and it was an 18-month process that really tested my patience, that really tested my resolve, really tested my perspective on friendship and partnership and business organization, and also tested my ability to cope and deal with sticky situations. He's no longer involved in the float centers anymore. And it got dark. It got really dark for a really long time. And what I learned was a lot of things, one of which is trust your gut. I had some indications really early on that there were some disconnects that were gonna sort of fester for a while and eventually just explode. I learned that when somebody shows you who they are, you have to believe them. I learned that some organization and preparation as early as possible sets the stage for optimal outcomes. And if you're not planning for the worst, you're not planning effectively. I learned that I can operate at a high level with massive, massive amounts of stress. I'm talking about like lawyers, the whole thing. And what I decided to do was A, stop drinking beer and stop smoking weed. B, meditation is pivotal for balance. C, it's never as bad as you think it is. And I can operate on very little sleep and massive amounts of stress and still be able to do my thing. You know, in the process of this 18-month conflict, I bought a house, had a baby, started another business, and really, really thrived during this massive, massive thing. And I'm a better person for it. I failed. I failed in this relationship and was facing failure in business. And it really has shaped my path forward in a million different ways.
Yeah. It's funny how it does that, huh?
Yeah.
I keep taking sips of my coffee. So
ooh, yummy.
I want to hear all about what you are doing now and what you're about to embark on. And I want to pick your brain on it. So give everybody a real quick brief synopsis and then we'll kind of dive into it a little bit deeper.
Yeah. So my latest offering to the world, humanity, is a series of workshops called Life MBA. And Life MBA is a personal empowerment workshop. The M stands for mind, the B stands for body, and the A stands for awareness. And Life MBA is a consolidation of all of the things that I've been learning over the past 7 years, from a mental aspect, from the mind, meditation, mentality, nootropics, diet, sleep, neuro-linguistic programming, manifestation techniques, relationships. Body is about eating for your brain, movement, effective exercises, sex, sleep goes into that as well, supplementation, floating, high-intensity interval training. And A, awareness, is the Energy is Love podcast. It's the esoteric, it's the mystical, it's the shamanistic, it's being able to tap into your intuition and to be able to effectively raise your level of awareness in this life so that you can tap into non-physical intelligence to take your spirit deeper. You see, you know, I've been meditating since I was 12. So how I'm framing this is, you know, I've done all this deep work and I've learned so much, and I've coached I've got 200 hours of coaching experience in the last year and a half, and I've learned a lot about what people face, what they deal with, how it affects them, how they can cope. But more importantly, I've understood certain tools and practices that we will be doing at this workshop that will take you through a process of tapping into your own abilities and enhancing the abilities that you have to perform at a higher level. Whether you love your job or hate your job, whether you love your relationship or don't, whether you are operating at a high level or not, I've got practices and tools, philosophies that I'm going to do. The way that I characterize it is it's kind of Tony Robbins meets Deepak Chopra meets Tim Ferriss. So it's behavioral reprogramming. It's spiritual concepts that are pulled from shamanism, multiple ayahuasca sessions, 500 plus hours in a float tank, inner wisdom training and mentorship, the work with spirit guides. And we talked about my spirit guides on the last podcast, abstinence protocols, ecstatic breath work, all these things that I've done. I've learned so much and I want to share this knowledge with people. And then the Tim Ferriss is the biohacking stuff. What supplements can you take to optimize your brain? What does a cold shower do for you? What sort of wearables and tech are there that can help you get better with the least amount of time, that sort of minimum effective dose, which is at the heart of biohacking? And there's a ton of content. It's an 8-hour workshop. It starts at 9 and ends at 5. And I'm going to struggle to get – I could easily do a 3-day weekend, 12-hour days to get through all of the content. So it's got me on fire. I'm sure you're going to – so the website is life-mba.com. We're on Facebook, My Life MBA. And it's got me super fired up because – I've already got a ton of interest. We just announced it last Friday and tickets are selling like crazy, which is just so encouraging. This is like the next iteration, my next offering that I can do. The float centers are doing their thing. People come in, 1,000 people a month come in and do their thing and float and get that service. I don't need to be as tightly integrated in those businesses. I don't need to be there every day. I'm there some days. I'm actually here right now. But the coaching has taken the teaching to another level. And everybody wants to be able to do more and to be more and to love deeper. Everybody's got this potential inside themselves, but we're distracted from our path and our purpose with bullshit, just bullshit. Things we tell ourselves, things that our mom said to us when we were kids, a breakup when you were 17, poor eating habits, not taking the right vitamins, not balancing your neurochemicals, not having a spiritual perspective, or which is non-dogmatic, just this connection to a higher meaning, a higher source, I think is super important. And you can tell just by the way that I'm rambling, there's a ton of information to get to, and it's really happened at a wonderful time in my life where I've learned so much and gone through some shit and learned even more. And now I'm up leveling as a person, and I want to help other people up level too. It's going to be pretty phenomenal. We haven't talked about you coming, but I would love for you to be there.
That would be awesome. It's in October, right? When is it?
Yeah, it's October 28th. It's the last Saturday in October, and it's 9 to 5 at the W Seattle, which is a hotel in downtown Seattle. And, it's 9 to 5. It's catered lunch. This is as legit as it comes. It's going to be phenomenal.
It sounds awesome, man. That's way cool.
Yeah. Which part of all of that word salad that I just delivered resonates most with you, Craig?
Well, as you're sitting there, describing all of it, the part that I really like is, the incorporation of everything, because mind, body, awareness, that whole aspect of It's one thing to go, whether it's to a workshop or to a retreat or to a, you know, a coaching session with somebody or something like that, that focuses in one area. I think it's great and I think it's beneficial, but then I think that it is about the balance of all these different aspects that make us up. And so I like the way that you described it. I like the fact that you're incorporating this vast amount of, insight and knowledge. I'm surprised that it's one day. Like you said, you could definitely do like a 3-day weekend type thing where intensive for 12 hours each day, because it sounds like there's a ton of information. But I like the idea. I like how, from the sounds of it, you've got it laid out, just that incorporation of all the different aspects. Because it's one thing if we're physically healthy, but mentally we're still fucking up and jacking up things that way. And it's one thing if we are super squared away, you know, mentally, and we feel very conscious about what we're doing and everything, but our physical health is lacking. And same thing if we look at the spiritual side of people and all those things interconnected and combined. I think it's massive. I think it's what is needed in order for people to get to that space in their life where they are happy and they are content, even throughout. That's one thing that I have just realized time and time and time and time again, where life doesn't ever get, I believe, to a point where everything's all fucking like daisies, rainbows, and unicorns. Life is just this continual process of challenge and strife and happiness and joy and sadness and anger and rage, and all these different things take place all the time. And like, I make peace with that. I'm starting to really appreciate that fact, that I can have a wide range of emotion and spectrum and feeling all within the one, you know, one afternoon. And I think we have to make peace with that fact that, you know, life is always going to be something that we have to work at and practice at. And it's silly to think that, you know, you can fix something and that it will never break again, or you can fix it and then set it on a shelf and never have to worry about it. I mean, those things that make up who we are the type of things that take constant awareness and focus and work in order to keep it all running smoothly.
Yeah, there's no finish line. There's no, you know, there's no perfect time. There's no like, oh, I made it. I'm there. Cool. I'm just going to chill under a Bodhi tree and ascend now. That's not how it works. There's always more to do. There's always more to learn. There's always ways to grow. And some people, it tires them out. Some people, they get stressed out by that fact. And it doesn't have to be that way. You know, the daily grind, the get up and go to work, which, you know, so many of us, I you know, that was my 20s, you know, getting up, putting on a shirt and tie and heading to work was my entire 20s. And I understand that sometimes it's hard and it's stressful and you may feel a little bit uncomfortable or lack, you know, the sort of perspective that you want about your life, you know, if you don't feel comfortable. But everybody has this potential inside them. You know, everybody's got that, like, that special gift. And I think finding that out, figuring out what that thing is and applying it, taking action on it is going to be like the most fulfilling thing you do in your life. And that's not to say that everybody should be an entrepreneur. That's not to say that everybody should go be a writer or a filmmaker or do a podcast, but this depth of human experience, this depth of consciousness is something that I'm super passionate about, and I've learned how to maximize that for people. I've learned how to work with people to help them understand themselves in a greater way, to live a more full life. And it's through coaching practices. And it's through things that you can immediately apply, you know, like reframing what we believe to be a negative attribute about ourselves, right? Like, oh, unorganized. Well, are you unorganized or are you whimsical? How can you optimize for whimsical in order to, like, you know, help things come together a little bit better? You know, there's so many things and coaching techniques that can help people be more effective and live deeper. Good Gesundheit. Can live deeper lives, and they just don't know how. They don't know the tool. They don't have the tools. They haven't. I've been blessed, and I'm so grateful for all the opportunities that I've been able to grow and learn from over the course of the last 6 or 7 years. I want to share it with people. I want to help, you know, light them up. You know, there is a consciousness revolution happening right now, and it takes more and more people to just light up and have passion and be involved and really live their lives. Because I know deep down that's what we all want to do, and I want to help people do that.
Well, I think you are, man. You know, from the sounds of it, from the looks of it, you know, I feel like I know you pretty well and everything. I think that you definitely are, even if it's just at that base level of, you make people feel better when you're around them. Because I always feel better when I get to hang out with you and I, you know, get to see you. I just feel better by being around you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've got big plans, man. I've got big dreams and big plans, and my vision board is packed with stuff, and I've executed on some of it, and there's lots more to do. And
so how long have you been working on this idea? Like, because my guess is, you know, this is a kind of a plan and a dream that you've been working towards, and it's coming in shape and form, and it's going to, you know, actually happen now. Like, what's that process look like for you? Because I think everybody's different when it comes to how they visualize or manifest or, you know, even just kind of create something out of nothing. What's that process look like for you? How do you go from an idea that sparked to, you know, the actual literal reality of it happening?
That's a really good question. I continue to tinker around with ideas, you know, podcasts, books that I'd like to write, podcast content. You know, I love appearing on podcasts. I'm going to do 3 this month. I did 3 last month. I have something to say, and I think that the way that I deliver my message is accessible to people and they resonate with. And so the process of me birthing something like this, you know, a float center, a coaching practice, and now, you know, a workshop that is, that has the same attributes that the float centers did. It's like, makes me a little bit nervous, makes me a little bit uncomfortable, pushes me out of my comfort zone, but also just burning red hot inside of me and needs to get out. So I open up my awareness to see what else, what is resonating with me. And, I wasn't ready to do a podcast because, I don't think that I could be as consistent with it. I have all this material and I have all these techniques and practices and disciplines that I can share with people. So a book, you know, it was an idea too. And ultimately it came down to I'm good speaking in front of people and I love it and I love motivating people. Well, why not? Let's just do 50. Let's just get 50 people in a room and put together some information that's going to resonate with them that they can activate on immediately. And then I just sort of I set the intention that's a possibility. Let's say this is a possibility within me. A workshop is certainly something that I would love to do. You know, that the old, like, you're either fuck yes or no. And this was a fuck yes for a while, but it just needed to kind of coalesce and come together a little bit. And the more I talked to people, the more open I was. I kept hearing, man, you should just do a workshop. Man, why don't you just do a seminar? Man, why don't you just share this in a online course? And it's like, okay, I've heard that enough times. Cool. And then in the meditation, I was talking to my guides and said, what is the hook? What is my signature thing going to be? And it was like, yes, it's a workshop. It combines all the things that you love to do that you can speak to some depth. the name wasn't clear, but it was like, okay, so then now I got this sort of confirmation that yes, this is what needs to be done. And then I start to ask around about people who I've never done an event before, you know, I've never hosted an event. I've done speaking engagements, but I've never done my own thing. And so I sort of found some other people and I talked with them and I learned about what it takes to do, you know, Eventbrite widgets on your Facebook page and, food and beverage minimums for the day and, presentation styles and speaking styles. And I just kept learning and learning and learning. And then I made the decision, okay, I'm going to go for it. So now if the end goal is to launch Life MBA sometime in October, then what steps do I need to take to execute on that? Well, I need to secure a space. I need to figure out what the content is going to be. And then I work backwards. And as I'm working backwards, I'm consistently writing down my intentions. I do some affirmations every single day where I write down, I've got really two going now, and I'm not going to tell you what they are. But I'll tell you after the workshop's done. But I've got two intentions that I write out 15 times every single day. I, Sean McCormick, will, da, 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 da. And then I've got another one. And that is working deeply on my subconscious level to empower me forward, to push me in the right direction to then fully realize what this thing is. And then the rest is logistics and, promotion and stuff like that. So did that answer your question?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a good layout of taking creative thought and turning it into reality. And, I think that's where people get stuck a lot of times, right? I think people have wonderful ideas or things that pop into them. And it's that practice of realizing when, you know, I think every single idea that we have, if we were to sit and imagine what we wanted to be, what we wanted to do, what we wanted to create, I think all of those things are potentially possible. But then it's kind of weeding through the minutia of all of that to see what really resonates and connects. And that's the part that people... I think don't know how to do and don't know how to trust that process. And then once they finally have something that kind of, you know, floats to the surface, being able to hold on to it and then go with it and take the steps. And I like how you described working backwards. I think, you know, that's probably very similar to kind of how I, you know, do things at times where I can visualize very clearly what it's going to look like and, you know, see myself doing whatever it is. And then go backwards from that point and see, okay, what does it take to get there? What does it take for me to implement this or that or whatever the case may be? And I think that's massive.
Yeah. Yeah. We are not fixed. We're not fixed people. We're different today than we were yesterday or 2 minutes ago. And that is a little tiny example of a greater process of becoming what you want. You can do and become what you want, you know, do what thou wilt, you know, is an Aleister Crowley, theosophical, occultist, vision of the self, this sort of like Western magic, like do what you want to do. That's the thing. That's where magic happens. That's where growth happens. That's where we can become, incredible. That's where we can grow and be powerful and inspire. And that is an internal process. And a lot of us are stuck on a track, the same train track that we jumped on a long time ago. And the thought of jumping off of that track and doing something different is so frightening for people because of security or whatever, or just that's what we know, that, you know, it's tough to shift off of that. Like I don't want to have any regrets on my deathbed. I don't want to say, man, I really wish that I would have X. I don't want to regret for a second. So I pick things that turn me on and fire me up and get me excited. And I do my damnedest to execute on them. And, it's a process that can't be done while you're watching Netflix. It's a process that cannot be done while you're driving. like this process of envisioning yourself in the future, really pushing yourself. You know, we are not the result of outside stimuli in our lives. We get to choose how we respond. We get to choose what we want for ourselves. And pushing, envisioning yourself in the future, 2 weeks, 10 years, whatever, however you want to be, is possible. It is absolutely possible. But you have to actually have an understanding of what you want and what you want yourself to look like and what you want yourself to be and who you want to work with and what how you want to spend your days when you're 50. Like, what the fuck do you want to be doing? And then work towards that. And that cannot be done reading emails. We get stuck in loops and distractions that take away from our essence. And the people who are high achieving, inspiring, you know, electric folks, they are really good at focusing on the stuff that matters to them and making it happen. Doing podcasts, writing books, starting businesses, hosting workshops, you know, and I just don't ever make excuses. I just don't. There's always a way. I'm tired. Fuck it. You know, like I've never done an event before. Fuck it. Why would anybody want to pay this much money to come listen to me? Fuck it. I know that the value is there. I know that this information is something that that no one else is doing, that I know because I've lit other people up, my coaching clients, my friends, my family. I've helped them in such awesome ways, and they've been willing to grow with a little bit of coaching technique, some breath, you know, combining the mind, the body, and the awareness. And I know it's going to affect people, so fuck it. I'm going to go for it, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll see how it rolls out from there. But I've got a clear picture of where I'm going now and where I want to be.
Do you think you've changed? I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking back, and like I've known you for just over a year, a little over a year, and I'm like, you sound, feel, and you know, I think you're a completely different guy than when I first met you. Like, I'm just sitting here thinking about over the course of our relationship and, you know, how long we've known each other. And granted, it's a short amount of time, but I feel like you're massively different from the first time that we met and recorded that very first episode back in the day to today. Like, do you feel that or what do you think?
Interesting. Yeah, I think I probably am. The last, you know, the last time we saw each other and we did that first podcast, I was a little spacey. I was spacey. I was just sort of going with the flow.
Yeah, you were just fucking around, man.
I went not in a good way. Exactly. I was there, you know, that weekend, that weekend in Portland. I wasn't really embodied. I wasn't really, I was less sure of where, who I was and where I was going. And, there are some things that are clear to me about what my purpose is, and I don't want to fuck around anymore. I mean, and however this is coming across as like, you know, driven or narrow focused, like it's not to say that I don't have a lot of peace in my life and a lot of love in my life and a lot of tenderness in my life. I do, but I am more focused and more driven than I was a year ago. That's interesting that you pointed that out, because I guess I didn't really think about it until right this minute.
Like, you didn't have any of this stuff a year ago, you know, or at least maybe not. Maybe it was just like in the very infant kind of stage of beginning, but at least from the perspective of where I sit and from what I know about you, it's like, dude, you fucking created all of this within the span of a year. And that's pretty powerful, man. That's a pretty, that's some good shit.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. That feels, I guess I got shit to do, man. I got shit to do.
Yeah. And you're getting it done. That's good.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
My wife asked me, she was like, I don't remember exactly the way she phrased it. And it was funny. I think it was yesterday or the day before, but she's like, why do you like Sean? Or like, what is it about Sean that you like or something like, 'cause I was telling her, you're going to come on the podcast again and all this kind of stuff. And she was like, what is it about him that you, I guess that you are drawn to in a sense. And it took me a minute and I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, I don't really know. Like, he just feels good. I like being around him. I think that we have, you know, things in common and kind of some of the time, you know, some of the ways that we kind of view life and look at things. But at the same time, I think that there is just something about you specifically. And I think that that's why you're finding success when it comes to, you know, everything that you're doing and coaching and, you know, your float centers doing well and all this kind of different stuff. And I think you just have this wonderful, beautiful energy that you're good at emanating. I think everybody has it inside of them, but people aren't really good at letting it out and letting it kind of emanate and radiate outwards from them. And you're doing something and you've kind of got that dialed in where you are good at just simply letting it out and being who you are. And that's why I think people are kind of gravitating towards you. And I think that's why you're successful, man. It's awesome.
Wow. I appreciate that, man. That feels really good. I'm going to let that soak in a little bit. I hear that and I appreciate that. I receive that love, man.
Well, let it soak in for a minute because I'm going to go piss and then we'll be right back.
Okay. So this is the part of the podcast where he goes to piss. I don't know what his deal is. Maybe he just drinks a whole bunch of water, doesn't plan properly. But this is the part of the podcast where I share a little nugget about something interesting. Did you know that 95% of our consciousness is subconscious? So only 5% of our brain actually acts on the conscious mind. So from 1 until 7, we are learning, right? Learning about rules, learning about regulations, learning about culture, learning about what is okay and what's not okay to be human and to be alive. And within that 7 years, we are basically programmed. And that all of that information in the first 7 years of our lives goes into our subconscious. And that is what governs our reality for the rest of our life. And so that 5% is conscious choice and the 95% is subconscious choice. So the question is, what are you doing to change and modify your subconscious, to work on your subconscious now to drive yourself forward in your life? You're back, aren't you?
I am back, but I'm sure it was good stuff. I didn't want to interrupt you.
you'll hear it in post-production.
I think it's important, Sean. I think it's important for people to look at their lives, right? We get so focused and caught up in moving forward. And a lot of times when we take the opportunity to look back and see where we've come, we just see shit. We just see the things that we've had to overcome and the things that we still feel like we're working on. And so I think it's important, you know, it's important to take a look back and see what, you know, even a year's time span is perfect, you know, where you were a year ago as opposed to where you're at today. And, you know, I can almost always guarantee that even if we want to put rose-colored glasses on it, you're better off today than you were a year ago across the board, I think, even though it may not feel like it or it may not seem like it at times, but...
Yeah, I think I'm slowly becoming, and I hear myself say this, you know, more and more frequently, but, the honestly, like, no weed, no booze has had a pretty big effect on me I'm still fun. I still danced at my buddy's wedding until I think we danced for like 3 hours at my buddy's wedding over the weekend. Just got sweaty and gross and gnarly. I still know how to let loose and still know how to have fun. And I'm not like dull and serious, or at least I don't think I am. But I think not having those two substances in my life, I've also not done any entheogens. I've not done any, ayahuasca or psilocybin or anything like that in a year as well. So I think that's a big part of the drive. That's like, I'm clear as fuck right now. And the work that I do spiritually with my guides, my manifestation, my attention setting, all of that stuff is now cooking and operating at a really high level. And I think that a lot of it is sort of attributable, you know, because I was, you know, a decade, you know, at least a couple beers a week, you know, at least, you know, weed at least a couple times a week for 10 years. And now I'm, you know, 8 months in to this process of having no mind altering substances, and my voice probably sounds different and my drive sounds a little bit different too. So I don't know. I really encourage people to tinker with that, because a lot of my friends, right, you know, college buddies, friends from high school, you know, people that I used to work with, like, that's just part of their reality, is like getting fucked up on Friday and Saturday night. And that's just part of what they do. It's how they blow off steam. It's how they unwind. It's how they connect with people. It's how they have fun. And it's not a judgment at all. Like, it's not, I'm not looking down on people that do that. But I would encourage people to just try taking a break for a little bit to see what it does. Because if you become more emotional, like, that stuff is being suppressed. If you become more active, like, that's being suppressed. If you are more loving and more connected and more effective, like, that is also being suppressed by your habits. And so I think that's probably a big part of it too, Craig.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good thing. What was I going to say? Oh, I haven't had any alcohol for like a month and a half. And, you know, it's been nice. It's been, I don't think I've had enough, because I haven't really cared. It wasn't a thing. It was more or less like a consciously decision to stop, simply because I wanted to dump as much weight as fast as I can. And I know how to, nice. I know how to do that. And so I just consciously chose to eliminate that, because for me, I just needed to dump weight. And, but, you know, I stuck with it. I got to the point where it's like, you know, I just don't really, it just wasn't a thing. I just didn't care. And so I don't know. It's interesting. I don't have a ton of awareness about like the effects of it or like the benefits of not having it. But at the same time, it's nice to not even care about it or worry about it, in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's just, you know, if you were stuck on a desert island and you had to kind of just deal, you know, yeah. And you didn't have access to that, like, what would you do? What would you do with yourself? It's also sort of stoic too, right? Like, I'm just going to strip things down. Like, what's the base level? What's the most basic level that I can operate from? How can I simplify? And what would I do? What would I create? What would I grow? Would I farm? Would I roll over and die? Would I build a shelter? Would I harvest coconuts? Like, what would I do if I were in desert island? And, you know, I'm whatever the catalyst was, you know, dropping a few pounds. Has it been effective for you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like,
awesome.
It was a big, I guess, change, across the board, mentally, physically, you know, all these different things kind of hit at the right exact moment. And, it's been nice. It's been a nice month and a half. Big changes.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it is good. It came in conjunction with that whole deciding to go on that expedition. You know, it was that was like the deciding factor. Basically, I had a conversation with my wife, and she's like, "Yeah, you need to go do that." And I'm like, "There's no way we can make that happen." Like, it wasn't even something that I was entertaining. And she's like, "No, I think you need to go." And so I sat with it for like an afternoon. And then we made the decision and it all worked out. And the next day I just like changed everything. I'm like, I'm done with all this other shit that I had been, distracting and, you know, kind of just fucking my life up with in a sense because of feeling this lost and kind of disconnected space. And, I was just done. And that was, I think that was right at the end of July. Somewhere around there, like right at the end of July, very first part of August. And, it was nice. It was a big, massive change in it. I had a goal in mind. I had something that I was working towards. Like initially it was just the physicality of I need to dump weight because a big chunk of that expedition was fucking hiking. Like it was 4 days of, you know, 40-pound pack on your back and hiking through Yellowstone. And I'm like, the less weight I can carry, even if it's just my own body, the better off I'm going to be. But it was good. It was, you know, it still is good. It's been really, really neat.
That's wonderful. Yeah, you don't want to be carrying around an extra 20 pounds in the middle when you're hiking for 4 days.
Yeah.
Well, and that the same thing can be applied to negative thought patterns, you know, like self-destructive thought habits, you know, like I'm just going to stop thinking negatively for a month and see how that goes. I'm just going to quit it and see what happens. You know, am I happier? Am I more productive? Am I more fulfilled? Like that sort of like resolve can be applied to exercise, abstaining from chemical, from, you know, alcohol and weed. It can be, negative thought patterns. It can be, you know, passive aggression, which is just like an epidemic in the city of Seattle. It's like, I don't know if it's the same where you're at, but there, it's just like this default, like, cordial, but it's like underhanded comments. And it's, I don't know, it's just a style of communication that's really common here in Seattle.
You think it's unique to Seattle? I think it's probably very unique to humans, right? We smile at somebody's faces and then.
Yeah. Well, there's this thing called the Seattle freeze that people talk about, you know, because there's 7,000 new people moving to Seattle every month.
Really?
Amazon is blowing up. There's 7,000 new people moving to Seattle every month, and there aren't that many places to live. There's just this influx of people every single month moving for tech, moving to start businesses. Etc. And I've read it in some articles and stuff, and it's like the Seattle freeze where people are like, they're nice to you kind of at face value, but not really. Like, oh, so you're gonna park like that? Oh, okay. That's cool. Like, that is such a toxic way to talk to people.
Yeah.
You know, giving that up for a month would probably do a lot of people good.
Have you seen it? Like, has the influx of all that shit affected you at all? Like personally, not like in a, you know, just like in the reality of living in Seattle and being somebody that's already living there.
It's changing the culture. It really is changing the culture. You know, the city is becoming younger. The city is attracting people from all over the place, which sort of erodes, the sort of grungy, earthy, artsy, aspects of Seattle, where you're surrounded by water and mountains and green, and it's turning it more bionic and more technological. You know, we've got artisan food and artisan wine and art and culture and music and stuff that's so rich here. And it's, you know, it's kind of becoming, it's homogenized for sure. But it's also a little disconnected, and having grown up here, it was a small, big city, and now it's a big, big city. Now it's a, You know, it's a 4 million person juggernaut, and the actual city of Seattle is quite small. The surrounding areas around Seattle are growing big. Like it affected me. Like I couldn't afford to live in Seattle anymore. I had to move out to the suburbs, which is awesome. I mean, super, super good. I feel great about it now. But it's affecting culture, I think. And it's maybe the way of things, you know, a little mini, you know, sort of like a mimic of Silicon Valley, where people go to learn and to tech and to innovate and to grow. You know, probably move to Portland next. You know, Portland's going to be the next, you know, the next hub because it's cheap to live there and the city supports innovation. But, you know, it's an interesting thing to see. Like if you go downtown, you know, there are just hordes and hordes and hordes of, you know, 25-year-old men that walk around sidewalks looking down at their phone wearing lanyards. And I mean, I'm not even kidding. Like it's just sort of commonplace now. And that feels very un-Seattle. And you know, maybe that makes me sound old fashioned or whatever, but it's true. Having grown up around here, it's changed the culture. And that's just maybe the way of innovation and the way of capitalism. You know, it doesn't make sense. If you have a smartphone, you can't bitch about capitalism, I believe. But it's just the way of things. And, yeah, this communication style is sort of a product of that, or maybe it's just, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, it's, I get tired. I don't get tired, but a lot of times, people talk about how things like the internet and Facebook and cell phones and all this massive amount of access that we have to technology is so detrimental, and it's, you know, destroying humanity, and it's getting us further and further away from who we really are and all these kind of different things. And part of me believes that that's definitely a real thing and an aspect. But then I also think that it's like natural evolution. It's just the way things have always gone and always will be. You know, I'm sure at some point back in the day, people were pissed off about fire. Like fire kept fucking everything up and it's destroying our way of life. And, you know, once we found this fire, now nobody does anything else except sit around the fire. And, you know, it's probably what's happened time and time and time again. And so I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that it's just the reality. It's just the way life goes and the way society as a whole evolves and moves forward, in, you know, kind of in mass. So it's balanced once again. And I struggled with our kids sitting there thinking, you know, their time on the cell phone is so shitty and they need to be limited in regards to their access of this and that and the other. And I totally agree that there's balance that needs to take place, especially with kids. But I also think that it's massively important for them to be well versed and skilled in that realm, even though it seems so silly and insignificant and stupid on one level. I think it's also the way of the future, right? I think that the way technology advances and the way that humanity moves and is continuing to move, it's only going to become more and more and more ingrained into our everyday life. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. The fire analogy.
You can totally see it, right?
Oh, totally. All you kids do is make fires and stare at them.
Yeah, everybody just wants to talk about fire.
Yeah, that's classic. Oh, that's excellent. I like that.
Well, Sean, man, once again, thank you very much. It's been awesome. I love talking to you. Like every time, I'm pissed that I haven't been to Seattle yet. Like I get all these stupid, tank installs all over, and I was in Washington, but it wasn't even remotely close to Seattle. And like, I keep waiting. 'Cause I just like hanging out with you, man. I like spending time with you. So doing these episodes is always a good time. It's always fun.
Dude, it's my pleasure. Hopefully the content today was compelling for people and they resonate with it. You know, I really enjoy you. I have a ton of respect for you as a man, as a person. You know, we don't see each other that much, but we don't talk that frequently. But I think you're right. I think we may have been brothers or homies in a previous life, because you know, you just connect with people on this level, and it's a gift. So I appreciate your friendship too, and I'm always willing, always down to jump onto the podcast and rap with you.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you, and give everybody the NBA stuff again. What's the website for it?
Yeah, so it's October 28th at the W Seattle. It's called Life MBA. It's life-mba.com. It's My Life MBA on Facebook. On Twitter, it is life_MBA. On LinkedIn, it's My Life MBA, or maybe it's just Life MBA. And yeah, if you're interested, if you hear this and you're like really resonating with it and you dig it, and you want to ask some questions, or you're considering coming out, just hit me up. Whether you're in Timbuktu or Utah or Seattle or wherever, just, you know, reach out to me. It's Sean@life-mba.com for email. And I'd love to talk with you. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to plug that again.
Absolutely, man. We've got a lot of listeners up in Washington. It's one of the, you know, like probably top 4 or 5 states in the U.S. for downloads for the podcast. So definitely people are up in that area. So that's a good thing, man.
Cool. Well, till we meet again.
Totally. Have a wonderful day, man. And everybody out there, go out and just have a beautiful, beautiful day.
Everybody wants to be able to do more and to be more and to love deeper. Everybody's got this potential inside themselves. I'm a huge proponent of failure, and it's okay to fail. It's great to fail, because then you learn something. When somebody shows you who they are, you have to believe them. I'm just going to chill under a Bodhi tree and ascend now.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. If you haven't already, go tell somebody about the podcast. Go show them how to listen and where to subscribe and how to download all these episodes. And then when you're done doing that, go buy yourself some Entheozen. Remember, Entheozen, nutritional solutions for balancing the mind and body. Entheozen.com, and enter that promo code ENERGYIS. Save yourself some cash. Have a beautiful day.